Okay, let's do a moment of rebound. I know you probably need that after your visits in the latte lounge, and I'll open in prayer and we'll knock out the rest of this. Let's pray. We thank you for the privilege, Father, to fellowship together in your word again this hour. We pray now that God, the Holy Spirit, will have the liberty to work in our lives, to bring this alive, and to give us the ability to apply it. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Well, we finished up a couple categories of grace, and now we're going to look at surpassing grace. Surpassing grace, which is in heaven, where the eye has not seen, the ear has never heard, the phenomenal things that God has for us. In heaven, there are colors you've never seen. There are sounds you've never heard. There are things in heaven that you cannot even imagine in your wildest dreams. So whenever you're in doubt, always follow grace, because the grace that we will see when we get to heaven will be unbelievable. You know, we have some idea. It's not really described in Scripture. There's so many things we don't know about our eternal future. But we know it's going to be amazing. And I look forward to the day that I'm able to get there. And I'll probably be plowing the back 40 of many of you. But I'll be really happy there doing it. Hopefully they'll let me have clothes, though. I won't have to wear my Speedo. Revelation 2:10. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison so that you will be tested. And you will have tribulation for 10 days, but be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Matthew 25:23, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come share your master's happiness. And two of our members, even though Jane has been in Arizona, have experienced this transfer from time to eternity, and now they are sharing the Master's happiness. But what is the next weapon we have in our arsenal? Before we can go in the battle, we need to dress appropriately. So we need to be in the correct uniform. There you go. The days are evil, so dress appropriately. So as we watch things go crazy in this country, we need to dress for battle. This ties in where we started. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having belted your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having strapped on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With every prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be alert with all perseverance and every request for all the saints. Well, I'm not just going to read it to you. Now we're going to go through each one of them. Put on. You do this mentally through the use of God's problem-solving devices. Told you earlier that was one of our weapons. And the application of Bible doctrine in your soul. If Bible doctrine is not in your soul, can't put anything on because you don't have anything. You can't put it on if you haven't learned it. You live the Christian life in your soul. This is where you will win the battles of life, in your mind. That's why Scripture tells us, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Doesn't say let these emotions be in you. It says let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, so that you will be able to resist. You resist the attack of Satan's cosmic system and the temptations of the world using divine wisdom. You use spiritual insight, discernment, and understanding. If you're going to resist, got to know what you have to use. It's all weapons. Having done everything, you are consistent in learning the Word of God. You are thinking with the mind of Christ. You are doing your part to be prepared. Hey, you're in the Lord's army. If you're not training, you're letting the rest of the soldiers down. Say, I hate this country. Well, what about all the soldiers letting you down? Say, I hate what's going on. Or maybe I hate my family. I hate my life. What are you doing? Are you preparing? Are you sitting around moaning and groaning? Stand firm. You stand firm. You hold your ground. You don't become a Christian casualty. You don't spin out. Sometimes when you see the number of people here, you wonder if the light's been extinguished at Grace Doctrine Church. Because there's no light shining but a few. And there's a fog over America, a failure of leadership, opposing laws. We have a problem. And the only way to fix it is to let your light shine. Otherwise, the fog's going to dim it till it's out, and the country's going to fall. If you take in the Word of God, you have something to use, and you apply it, your light can shine through the fog. And then guess what? You'll draw others to your light. They'll want to know what you have. Having belted your waist with truth, you have the Word of God in your soul. This is truth. Aletheia, emeth in the Hebrew. Using an analogy, everything the Roman soldier wore was connected to his belt. Likewise, everything in life is connected to the Word of God in your soul, the truth. So, if you're standing firm and you haven't belted your waist with truth, now, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, you have God's imputed righteousness given to you at salvation. You are developing capacity righteousness from growing to spiritual maturity. It requires you to do something. Grow. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Come to me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn of me. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You are developing capacity righteousness from growing to spiritual maturity. And that again starts in the classroom of Christianity, right here. It's how we train for combat. Having shod your feet with the gospel of peace, you understand the gospel and your responsibility to witness and represent Jesus Christ to the world. And guess what else? You have a personal sense of destiny, problem-solving device number 6. You put your agenda behind, and you get with God's program. Your peace with God comes through Jesus Christ. How many of you are a clandestine Christian? You wouldn't dare tell someone about this church, about Bible doctrine. You wouldn't dare give the gospel. Got to keep it all a secret. So you're a clandestine Christian. You lurk around in the shadows. Do you replicate Christ's life in your own? Do you represent him to all of those around? Do you represent this church? Do you teach your children, your grandchildren, your family? Do you give them the gospel? Are you afraid to? It'll be too late if the Lord calls them home. No clandestine Christians can be allowed. We're soldiers for Christ. We're on the front lines. The country needs us. Your family needs you. Taking up your shield of faith, you use the faith rest drill, and it allows you to keep standing in spite of the attacks the enemy will throw at you. You stand on the promises of God, and you link shields with other Christians, shoulder to shoulder, shield to shield. And there's another part of the problem-solving devices, which we weren't going to cover. There you go. You don't leave a wounded believer on the battlefield. You cover him with your shield and you pray for him. You encourage him. Because you're locked shoulder to shoulder and shield to shield. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You use doctrinal orientation and a divine viewpoint to stand firm and repel the attacks of Satan's cosmic systems and the lures of the world. And there are a lot of them. Come on over. Let's give it a try one more time. I see that with prisoners all the time. They get out, Satan hits them right square in the face with, hey, you don't have a job, you don't have any money, you know, got a lot of guilt. Come on over. You can sell a few more drugs just one time to get some money. If you get that money in your back pocket, you can go do some other thing. You get a car. Then you can go get a job. Oh, and you can get a girlfriend. And then you can go back to prison. Because that's what happens. Be careful of the lure of the world. And you need the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And use your doctrinal orientation and divine viewpoint to stand firm and repel the attacks of Satan's cosmic system and the lures of the world. With all prayer and petition, you are patient and persistent in prayer, knowing God answers in His timing, not yours. You know, there's at least 10 reasons why prayer is unanswered. Do you get in fellowship? Do you understand the proper format for praying? Do you understand the protocol for it? And because God doesn't answer in your time, you decide you'll handle it yourself. And then you make a bad decision and it limits future options. God answers in His timing, not yours. We also need to train. Training is the academic environment of Bible class. You have the uniform. You have your weapons. But if you don't train, God can't use you. You're in the army, but God can never use you in combat. You look good. You talk good. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, praise God, brother. I see it all the time. Every chaplain I run into, every volunteer, oh, Brother Watson, welcome. They look good, but God's never going to put them in combat. Because He can't use them. They don't know anything. They can't think their way out of a wet paper bag. But we have the mind of Christ. We're in the classroom for Christianity. We know the Word of God. It's in our soul. You must train in Bible class if you're to be used in combat. It may be nice for you to be on the team. Got your operations manual. You know what to do with it. Hold it. Look good. But you're always going to be back in the barracks, scrubbing floors, sitting at a desk doing nothing. Because He can't use you. Bible class is the training grounds and discipline of learning God's Word and His plan for your life so you can be a good soldier for Him. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. God has decreed every circumstance or battlefield the believer will face in time, and he expects that person to apply doctrine to the challenges presented. It's in the decrees. I told you the story. The best example I have was I didn't want to go to that lunch with the chaplain. It was in the decree. I was going to lunch. The unseen battle is far more devastating and carries much more impact historically than the visible clash of arms on history's various battlefields. It's a nasty war, and if you're not prepared, you'll be sucked into the cosmic vortex and spit out somewhere down the road, and it won't be pretty. In order to arm your soul, you must establish for yourself a biblical inventory of divine thought. Human good versus divine viewpoint. Not what the world thinks, not what your buddy thinks, but what God thinks. So in order to arm your soul, you must establish for yourself a biblical inventory of divine thought. Some work to do. Where does our courage come from? Another one of the weapons found in our operations manual. It's the faith rest drill and the 7,000 plus promises found in the Word of God. Should give us great courage. Here's a great one for you. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. You got to hang that on the refrigerator. 2 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Isaiah 40:31. For they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. One of my favorite passages. I have been super exhausted over the last 3 or 4 weeks. You lean on the promises of God, and he doesn't let you down. He provides that energy. He provides the strength. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So when you go to work or you go on the interstates, you go to school, you go to the grocery store, you don't have to fear. There's a wall of fire around you, a hedge of protection that no one can get through until God says, it's over. You're done, partner. Time to come to the home office. Physical courage is the ability and the willingness to face uncertainty without intimidation. Physical courage is the ability and willingness to face uncertainty without intimidation. You must be able to think under pressure. Right here, personal sense of destiny. I know where I'm going when God calls me home. I'm going to fulfill his plan for my life because my eternal future is secure. That allows you then to share the happiness of God, to be occupied with Jesus Christ. And when you are, it makes getting up every day a lot of fun. Let's see what they got going on today. Let's see what craziness is out there today. Matthew 10, 28 through 31. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. The Greek word here is phobos, and that's where we get our word phobia. And this begins with the negative may, and it's in the imperative mood. Do not fear. There's no room for fear. Do not fear if this country is going to fall or if it's going to survive. Do not fear if there's going to be formulas on the shelf or not. Do not fear how you're going to pay for gas. Confidence in God motivates courage toward life and men in life. Matthew 16, 24, when Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves and take up my cross and follow me. Spiritual courage requires the daily decision to fulfill these mandates. Do you get up excited, refreshed, because you sleep soundly, because you're not worried about anything? And then pick up your cross and follow him? Or you get up and say, man, I just want out of here. I'm going to move somewhere else in the country. I'm going to hide. It's going to get you there. It's going to find you wherever you go. Spiritual courage requires the daily decision to fulfill these mandates. But we have been given the unique invisible assets to fulfill these orders. So when these orders come down, we have the assets to meet our requirements. It is simply the filling of the Holy Spirit, the invisible power in every believer. The invisible power in every believer. Hey, this warfare is not fair. The Word of God is more powerful than anything. It's like this whole book's filled with nuclear weapons. We know who wins. We're the victor here. May look like we're losing, but we're winning. Makes you want to go to Vegas and place a bet. That's how powerful the Word of God is. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. But we are of good courage, and prefer rather to be absent from the body than to be home with the Lord. So, we'd much rather be at home with the Lord than here. We have courage because our confidence in eternal security. Got to remember, you got to look at the top circle. We have eternal security. If I can figure this machine out. We all know the bottom circle's fellowship. We get out, get in carnality. When we sin, we know how we get back in, 1 John 1, 9. But we never get out of this circle right here. Nobody can pluck you out of your Father's hand. That gives us the confidence. We have courage because of confidence in eternal security and sure-footed confidence in God's plan, as well as the Holy Scriptures, which are our daily rations for energy in the conflict. Metabolize doctrine. Do you have confidence in God's plan for your life? It gives you energy. It's your rations. It feeds the Holy Spirit because you're growing in grace. We have courage because of our confidence in eternal security and sure-footed confidence in God's plan, as well as the Holy Scriptures, which are our daily rations for energy in the conflict. Metabolize doctrine. Colonel Thiem wrote, "The protocol plan of God is designed to remove all the cobwebs of fear in your soul and replace them with confidence in doctrine, which leads to confidence in the Lord. That is the only true basis for spiritual self-esteem, which is confidence in yourself through Bible doctrine. This inevitably results in the greatest courage in life. It's more than moral courage. It is a mental attitude of courage in all relationships and in all circumstances in life." Goes on, courage is thinking doctrine and functioning under pressure as if there were no abnormal circumstances, no crisis, no pressure. Courage is claiming promises in adversity. Faith rest drill. Using the 10 problem-solving devices, functioning under the privacy of your royal priesthood to think, to apply, and to metabolize doctrine with your own intellect. However, fear makes you a loser. Want to be a loser? There it is. Operation Z. When you comply over here, it builds courage. I'll write that in there. And then every time you use it, you get confident to do it again. Not a one-time thing. It takes time. It takes a whole lot longer if you never get to Bible class. I can get out of this somehow, some way. When your combat tour is nearly over, will you be faithful to what you have learned? Will you complete your mission? Will you finish strong? Your wife, your children, your husband, your grandchildren, your friends, they're all in the stands watching. They're all paying attention. So will you complete your mission? Will you finish strong? Psalms 90:12 says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts into wisdom." If you're going to finish the race and complete the mission, Hebrews 12:1, "Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let's rid ourselves of every obstacle and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." We're being watched, even by angels. You know, they're watching and learning from us. They're here today. If you tell me you see them, I'm going to call a doctor for you. So they see you at your best and they see you at your worst. And if you're going to finish the race and complete your mission, you've got to stay away from this. Galatians 5:7. "You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" What is your hindrance? What is your distraction? Don't leave your first love. We get caught up so easily when things are going good. Something hinders us. We decide we've got a better deal. You know people that that's happened to. I know people. It may happen to us. We get a better deal. That better deal is only for a short time. And it usually happens when things are going well and you're in prosperity. Revelation 2:4 says, "But I have this against you, that you have left your first love." Only personal love for the Father gives you the motivation to live one day at a time and all for His glory. Losing that occupation with Christ is akin to losing your first love. Your first love needs to be the love of Bible doctrine and glorifying your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul speaks of those who turn away from the truth as deserters of the gospel in Galatians 1:6. "I am amazed that you are so soon removed from Him," God the Father, "who called kaleo you into the grace of Christ unto another of a different kind of gospel, which is not another of the same kind of gospel, except there will be some legalists that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Oh, there's family members that try to recruit you to come to their church. Other pastors you may meet say, "Oh, you got to come check out our church." Or those that say, "You don't really need, you know, this little book of devotions is fantastic. You do that 10 minutes a day, whoo, you'll get the maturity in a hurry." Not true. Stick with where you're at. Don't leave your first love. Paul says it's amazing how quick you drop it. My encouragement is lay aside all distractions and set priorities. Get victory over sinful habits that cause you to stumble in the conflict. Endure the pain, embrace the sacrifice, reap the reward. Get victory, things that cause you to stumble. In the conflict, endure the pain, embrace the sacrifice, reap the reward. In spite of injustice or chaos we see in our lives or in our nation, we cannot afford to be sidetracked by outside circumstances or those who drive them. Your thoughts can be hijacked or redirected through the never-ending call to worry and be afraid of pandemics, grocery shortages, social tensions, political intrigue, children, etc., etc., etc. Paul's emphasis was to stay on point and complete the mission, and you must do the same. Don't let what's going on around you become a stumbling block or a snare that gets you sidetracked. Here's a principle for you. The greater the impact, the more time needed in preparation. You want to have impact? You got to prepare. And the greater the impact, the more the preparation. You want to be somebody God can use? You got to get prepared. God honors those who honor Him. And honor means that God has blessings beyond your wildest dreams. If you'll put doctrine first and be faithful to the Word of God, the life that God has for you is unbelievable. You cannot imagine it. You couldn't dream it in a million years, what God has for you, and He's waiting for you to be faithful. Not only are there escrow blessings in time, but also escrow blessings in eternity, blessings that are held and reserved just for you. Reaching spiritual maturity is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. If you have to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This may take time, but I can assure you that if you're faithful, if you're consistent, if you stick with it, God will give you something you never imagined in a million years. The believer who finishes his mission will receive a crown. James 1:12. Happy is the advanced believer who continues to endure testing for the purpose of approval. He will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised in eternity past for those who have personal love in him. And as 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those who have longed for his appearing. These crowns constitute the prize for the believer who reaches spiritual maturity. These crowns are a part of the believer's escrow blessings in time and eternity. Then in Revelations chapters 2 and 3, John evaluates the rewards for the believers who advance to spiritual maturity. To the winner and to the one winning, the Nike Awards. The winner believer is God's trophy of grace and is such recognized once Christ returns for his church. Wouldn't it be great to be a trophy of grace? Paul was a trophy of grace. This is your prize to collect as a reward for your fidelity and maximum glorification of God. Principle: two things break the back of Satan. The strategic victory of our Lord on the cross and the tactical victory of those who advance to spiritual maturity. There it is. But the hardest thing in the world is to be consistent in Bible class. I know it. I understand it. And it amazes me of how consistent many of you are. And it's very encouraging. You have to learn that this is priority number one in your life. And there's going to come a time when you're going to need everything that's ever been taught by our pastor. Because as much as I'd like to believe that there's going to be a pivot big enough to hold it, this country, I'm not sure there is. So I'm confident that we're going to need everything that our pastor's ever taught us. Remember, this spiritual combat is no place for children or babies. God needs trained, advancing, mature believers in his army. And in Hebrews 5:12 through 14, it tells us about baby believers that you should be teaching others. But instead, I still got to feed you with a bottle because you haven't grown up. So spiritual combat is no place for children and babies. If you ever hope to glorify God in your life, it's not because of what you do or what you give up or how moral you are or even how great people claim you are. It's because you have a maximum amount of God's word in your soul and it reflects the life of Christ. That's it. Principle: the Christian carries out the will of God for his life no matter what. That's the priority. The state may kill you, but your priority is to fulfill the plan of God for your life. So as we get ready to wrap this up, will you become a Christian casualty or will you stand firm and hold your ground? Will you be a good soldier for Christ? How will you complete your mission? Will you finish strong? Are you teaching your children, your family? And when you're called home to be with the Lord, will they continue the fight, the good fight of the faith? Or will they become a Christian casualty? This is the challenge if America is going to survive. Be on the alert. 1 Peter 5:8 says, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom they could devour. Remember, we are soldiers for Christ, who is our commander in chief. We are to fight the battle without distractions in order to serve him. And without Bible doctrine in your soul, you will be completely powerless against the strategy of Satan. You won't have any divine viewpoint. You won't be thinking the mind of Christ. And without doctrine in your soul, the Holy Spirit doesn't have any ammunition to use, so you're helpless. Got an empty gun. The Holy Spirit is the engine, but Bible doctrine is the fuel that he uses to power that engine. Bible doctrine, the teaching of the Word of God, not the doctrines of the church that you find on the wall when you go to these churches, fuels these concepts. Bible doctrine, the teaching of the Word of God, fuels these concepts. These principles that you learn and apply to your life, that's what the Holy Spirit uses. This is why repetition and recall are critical. You will hear something repeated, and your mind will say, "Oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, I heard that before. Oh, I remember our pastor taught that." It reinforces what you've heard. Reinforce it, cause you to recall it, and challenge you with it. It is my prayer that this class has been encouraging and that you will raise the flag high until we plant it where the colors never flew, on the high ground of spiritual maturity, Mount Pleroma. I've given it to you straight, done the best I could. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together and for showing us what we must be when we deal with this world. As we have our conflicts and our relationships, knowing that we can handle any problem that comes along, whether any storm in life, whether it be a personal relationship or something beyond that, that you have provided the means for us to handle everything thrown our way. May we learn your word, may it grow in our souls, and may we have the courage to apply it. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Guide me, thou great Jehovah.